I want to thank Jerry for letting me teach here this morning. It's been a great weekend with a lot of tremendous teachings. We started off seeing the importance of confessing God's word and confessing who we are in Christ. We looked at being righteous and seeing that we're dead to the world. We saw how God really wants to help us, and he can give us information so that we can walk wisely. We saw how that we're sanctified, set apart, and made holy. And that's quite a lot for the weekend, plus a lot of wonderful fellowship, a lot of tremendous things went on, a lot of hugs and kisses and Bibles and a lot of cool things. You know, I got into God's Word in 1970 in California. And I want to start off this teaching by sharing something that changed my life. I came from a family, and we had more things, I think, than a lot of people when I was a kid. And what I wanted to do with my life was to help people. And I was a little afraid in the beginning because I didn't know how to help people, and I wanted to help people with my life. And then I took a class called Power for Abundant Living, like a lot of us have, and it changed our life tremendously. And so a few years after that happened, I was a student in college, maybe in, I don't know what year or whatever, and we had a fellowship, and the fellowship was really growing, and in walked this girl, and she had a lot of mental and physical and spiritual problems. She at one time tried to kill herself and put a gun in her mouth and pull a trigger. And she had a metal plate right here. She took 100 reds one time, and part of her brain died. So she was a mess. She had a lot of pain by the stupid things that she did to herself. She had devil spirits. When she would walk into my house, the picture on the wall sometime would move. Not that anybody would move it, it would just move. The spirits told her to do a lot of things, and they would give her pleasure, they would punish her, they would do a lot of things, and she, in a lot of her life, was controlled by devil spirits. She was a masochist. The voices told her to cut herself all over her body. And one time, some gun appeared in her house, and the spirits told her to take the gun and come kill me. And so, this was an interesting person to have in your fellowship. There was a lot of love in my fellowship back then. So, one day she called us, and I knew it was the right thing to go over there and minister to her. And she was a mess. And she had just gotten through cutting her face with a razor blade. And when we went over there, you know, her cheek was bleeding and hanging down and whatever. So, we ministered to her in the name of Jesus Christ, and within 2 or 3 minutes, her cheek turned to plasma. Turned to, not plasma, what's the? Dried blood, what is it?
Scab.
A scab, yeah, it turned to a scab. And then we told her that her brain was normal. So she went to the doctor the next day, and she got on an EKG or EEG machine, I don't know which one, and which one is it? Yes, thank you very much for helping me. And her brain was normal. And they put her on another machine, and her brain was normal. And the doctors couldn't believe that, and they put her on another machine, and her brain was normal. And so she had no more pain in her body. She had no more voices. She was whole. And the next morning, she came to our house, and there was no mark at all on her face at all. It was like a little baby's butt. Totally. Don't think about that too much, but you know. You know. So it's not, you know, God delivers. God delivers, and life is spiritual. Sure, there's trees out there, there's different things, and you know, there's, but you know, life is spiritual, and we have to open our eyes and wake up a little bit. And the world lulls us to sleep sometimes by what goes on around us. And it's a spiritual world, and we've been taught God's word like it hasn't been known since the first century church. And it's a battle. It's a battle if we're going to believe our senses or if we're going to believe what God's word says. And we have God and Christ in us, and we need to learn and we need to believe exactly what the scriptures say so that we can walk like Jesus Christ. And for those of us who have been around for a while, we've heard John 14, 12 taught so often, you know? You know, it's Christ in us and we can do the same works. Well, do we really believe that, or is that just a nice verse to read when we want to do a nice Bible teaching? And it's all about, are we going to believe who we are? So let's take a look today a little bit at God's word in this field of sons walking with power. 2 Chronicles 16, please. This is the record in God's word of great King Asa. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But later on in his life, he let a few things slip. And he began to rely and have confidence in men instead of having confidence in God. Verse 7, it says, "And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand." So he began to rely on men and not God. Verse 8, "Hey, dude, remember this. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." Remember that? The odds were against you, but because you relied on God, God could really do something. Verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, because he trusted in people and not God. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was really happy with the prophet and was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison house. And he was enraged with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Verse 11, "And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to what? But to the physicians." This is a really interesting context. In this context was a man who had walked for God, but then after a while began to develop some habits and trusting in men. And then later on, it says here he had this disease, but in his disease, in his hour of need, he didn't go to God, but he went to men. He developed that habit and he continued it. So today we're going to look at a little bit of the operation of God's power today in the area of healing, and to look at it and begin to understand and, you know, remind ourselves of what God's word says about healing. You know, modern medicine is a lot better than it was when Asa was alive. I think that's a safe thing to say. And I'm thankful. You know, it's easy to go to the doctor for most people, take the purple pill, take Viagra or some natural remedy. Doctors almost seem infallible, yet they disagree with one another. As a society, we've turned over our healing to doctors, and we've forgotten about that God heals. Sometimes medicine is wrong, but I'm thankful for medicine. I go to doctors. I have medical insurance. I like doctors. I like people in the medical profession. I like doctors. You know, I have friends that are in the medical profession, and so do you. There's a guy in here. Is Jim Murray in here? Where's Jim? Dr. Jim Murray, why don't you stand up? An old friend of mine. Come on, stand up. Come on. Come on, Jim, stand up. Look, give him a hand. I don't know, maybe he's not my friend. He didn't stand up right away. You know, Jim has a very interesting job. Jim is a professional drug tester. Now, that's a very cool job to have. He's a professional drug tester. Now, I have to be honest. There's a lot of us in the room many years ago that were unprofessional drug testers. But we won't stand up at this time. Doctors are great, but the priority sometimes, we go to medicine, and we do that first sometimes instead of going to God. God first, remember Matthew 6:33? Instead of going to doctors and going the whole thing, and then you throw up a panic prayer, and you know, and then if that doesn't work, pray to Mary or go consult Walter Mercado or something like that. You guys know Walter Mercado? He's not a relative to Dean, by the way. We've missed out on God's deliverance in our life because we've walked by our senses at times instead of believing what the scriptures say. We've also missed out on the outreach of God's word because when people get delivered, they get all excited about God and his power and also the outreach of God's word. Look at Acts chapter 8, please. Me too. I got things I need deliverance from. Look at Acts. We're all folks. Acts 8. We need help. Acts 8. Acts 8. And in verse 6. Acts 8, and in verse 6, it says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." They listened to the word because they saw the power of God. Signs, miracles, and wonders. God confirmed the word. So when people get delivered, they get blessed and people listen to the word. You know, many years ago, we were taught about first aid and second aid and third aid. First aid, biblically, you could see would be God first. First aid is to go to God. Second aid would be to go get ministered to, go get prayed for, and third aid, which is really great, go to the doctor, get some help if the other things don't work. No shame in that at all. Look at Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. God first, isn't that what the scripture says? I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. Jesus Christ didn't go around making people sick. He healed them. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you guys believe that God forgives you? Who believes that? Raise your hand. Okay. Did you put your hand up, Gina? Good. She has it rough sometimes. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And in verse 3, if we believe that God forgives us, look at this. Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, "Who forgives all thy what? Iniquities. Who forgives all thine iniquities? Who heals all thy what? Diseases." Hey, if one is true, the other's true, isn't it? It's right there in the same context. If we believe one, we ought to believe the other one. God, we believe that God forgives us, we should. Well, then how about the other? How about 1 Peter chapter 2? These are verses we've heard before. You know, sickness is not a sin. Sometimes sickness is due to sin directly. But we live in a devilish world. And just because I'm sick or I have something wrong with me, that doesn't mean necessarily I've done something wrong. The temptation in sickness is not to go to God and ask for deliverance. 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were what?"
Healed.
You know, it's all over the news about health care, health care reform. You know, having good health care is really expensive. It's real to have a good plan. Man, it's really, really expensive. And if you have a health care plan, man, you ought to use it, people say. And it's all over the news. Every day you hear more stuff about it. I'd like to say, biblically speaking, we have the greatest health care plan available, by whose stripes we were healed. And you know, that's a very expensive health care plan. It cost Jesus Christ a lot of pain. It's the greatest health care plan ever, and it's ours, all for free, because we couldn't pay the price. He paid the price, and now we can enjoy it. Just like the parents, they might buy a health care plan. The kids don't put any money into it, but the kids have the little card, and the kid can go to the doctor for free because somebody else paid for it. Well, same thing. We have a health care plan from God, by whose stripes we were healed. We ought to use it. Look at Mark chapter 9. That doesn't mean it's bad to have, you know, other health care. Not at all. Look at Mark chapter 9. How we appropriate this healing to our life is by believing. When we believe the word, we receive, right? We know those things. Look at Mark chapter 9, please. Mark 9. Now, this is a very familiar record. I'm not going to teach everything that's in here, but most of us have in our house, a lot of us have in our house, the Bible tells me so. You know, when's the last time we read the first five chapters of the Bible tells me so? Man, that is tremendous stuff right there. And this is in the first five chapters of the Bible tells me so. Let's take a look at this. Mark chapter 9, verse 16, and it says, "And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought to thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wherever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pines away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they what?
They could not."
They could not. They couldn't cast him out. This person had convulsions, and the spiritual cause was a devil spirit. "And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came of him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it, the spirit, cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But you, Jesus Christ, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." The child couldn't believe at that time, so the believing responsibility was passed on to the father. They were trying to put it all on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ demanded responsibility of believing from the father. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, give me some drugs. Said, Lord, I," what?
"Believe.
I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, smelled bad, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit, what?
Cried.
What voice did the, how did he cry out? He cried out from the person that he was inside of. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. Some of you have probably seen this before when something like this happens. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That's fantastic. So the responsibility of believing was on the side of the person who was going to believe. And in this case, he was incapable, and the father believed. Let's take a look here at Matthew, please. I got to find this. Take a look at Matthew chapter 17. The responsibility of believing was on the side. They had to believe. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17 and in verse 17. Do you remember that record? Remember the disciples, they tried to cast him out, but what? Couldn't. Look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17. Verse 16. Here's the parallel record. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not what?
Cure him.
Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your what? So believing was required on both sides. It was required by the person who needed deliverance, and in this case, the father needed to believe. And also believing was required on the person who was ministering. And that is still true today, isn't it? Still true today. So believing is required, and that's very, very important. Look at Romans chapter 10, please. Romans 10. It's important to build believing. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17. Romans 10. Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's important in our life that we hear a bunch of Bible so that we can believe. We're leaving here today, and man, it's been a mountaintop experience. But when we go back into the world, are we going to pound this Bible into our brain? Are we going to put it in there again? Or are we just going to go ahead and let our brains go wherever the world takes it? It takes time, work, and study to put the Bible in there so we can really, really, really believe it. To build believing in the area of healing, it's great to read the book of Acts. Great to read the Gospels, because you see how Jesus Christ did these things, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Here's a book right here. It's called Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. There's a chapter in here called Sin, Sickness, and the Savior, something you could read. There's material that we have on how to build believing for healing. And you know what? It's easier normally to build believing when you're feeling good than when you're not, right? Just like before people go into the battle, they get trained before they go. So this is really important. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's first aid. First aid, go to God. Develop a habit of putting God first in the area of healing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I would say most of us in here speak in tongues. That's pretty good, right? You could do something impossible. And most of us do something impossible on a daily basis. We speak in tongues. Most of us have believed that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's pretty impossible, isn't it? Going by the facts, there is no God. There is no resurrection. There is no miracles. There's no speaking in tongues. There's no birth. There's no Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now, remember Dr. Rowley used to say, I didn't write the book, and I didn't die for you either. How about verse 7? It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of what? By the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. You know, healing is in there. It's one of the manifestations, just like speaking in tongues is. Matthew chapter 10, it's in there. Now, I know we need to teach more of this, and you know, I know that we're going to somehow, somewhere, Matthew chapter 10, but it's in there. And there's a lot of us in here who've been taught a lot in this area. And I'd just like to say this, don't let the adversary steal this from you, because some of you guys have been taught so much of God's word in this area, and it's easy to get soft on it. And you know what I'm talking about. Look at Matthew chapter 10. You've been taught God's word like it hasn't been known since the first century. And most people are more concerned about where the flowers go on the altar or on the piano than God and Christ in us and walking with God like Joe was talking about. Look at Matthew chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast out and to heal all manner of sickness and to all manner of disease. Were these fellas born again now? They weren't born again, and they could cast out spirits and they could heal all manner of disease. They didn't even have what we have. They weren't born again. Jesus Christ said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. They weren't even born again. We have more than what they had. And that's what it says. This is not something I'm making it up. So, first aid, go to God. Second aid, go to a believer and get prayed for, get ministered to. And there's a difference between getting prayed for and getting ministered to. If somebody comes to me and they tell me, hey, you know, would you pray for me? I have a tummy ache. You know, and maybe I just pray for them. You know, there's no operation of God's power, but a prayer is cool, and you pray. Somebody tells you what it is, and you pray, and somebody gets prayed for. You know, but somebody might ask you to pray, but then also there's more to it. Maybe you know it's the right thing to do, and you've been instructed somewhere, somehow, and you know how to operate the manifestation of the gifts of healing. So that's by revelation, and it's an operation of the Spirit of God inside of you where you bring to pass healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's a different thing. Look at Acts chapter 3. And a lot of you guys have been taught this, and we need to teach more on it. Acts chapter 3. And those of you who know what I'm talking about here, you need to walk into this. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And in verse 1, it's in the Bible, isn't it? But you know, we've forgotten a little bit about this. We need to believe what the scripture says. Acts chapter 3 and in verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. There's a lot going on here, but he really wasn't begging for money. If he was begging for money, he would have been at another place. But he was showing his humility. There's another record in here where he was about 40 years old. He hadn't walked for about 40 years of his life, never walked in his life for 40 years, and he was still out there trying to get healed. If we've had something wrong with us for 40 years, it's kind of easy to think, man, that's how it's going to be, and I just lose all hope and I just forget about it and go on with my life. He was there for 40 years, and Jesus Christ would have passed him by. And Jesus Christ never ministered to him, as far as we know. He was still there healed. He was still there asking for healing. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This was his day. Peter and John went, and God told him by revelation to do this. He said, "Look on us." And you know, this dude here, he said to him, you know, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's impossible. Sense knowledge wise, that's stupid. That's against science. That's against medicine. That's against everything that we know sense knowledge wise. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He had problems in his feet and an ankle bone. God put something in there. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising the men who healed him. No. Praising God. Look, I'm not making this up. This is God's word. And just because we might not have seen this, or maybe some of us have, you know, this is what the word says. But remember, it's still God's word if it never comes to pass, because it's the word of God. This is what it says. And these dudes, they weren't as educated as us. This was 2,000 years ago, and they believed. We have Christ in us just like they had. Deliverance is available from God. Whether I ever get it in my life or whatever, it's still his word, and God loves me and he loves you. Before we wrap it up here, there's a couple other things I'd like to deal with, and that is fear and condemnation in the area of healing. Please look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Fear is sand in the machinery of life. Fear doesn't help us believe, does it? Fear is an enemy of believing. If we're afraid, we might not go to God. We might not go to get a believer to minister to us. We might even be so scared, we might not even go to the doctor. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," the who?
The devil.
"The devil, as a roaring" what?
"Lion."
Can everybody roar for a minute? Give me a powerful roar. Wow, I'm scared of that. "As a roaring lion walks about, seeking whom he may" what? Hey, can the lion bite you if he's roaring?
No.
He's roaring. Makes a lot of sense, you know? So, there's another friend of mine there, Ted. Why don't you stand up, Ted? Please stand up. There's Ted Wilson. Look at how tall he is over there. Thank you. I used to be that tall, but I started smoking at a young age. You know, Ted's a big guy, and Ted used to have a big dog. And this dog, his name was Clover, and he was part St. Bernard. He was a giant, slobbery dog, you know, and he was giant. So we, Ted and I and a bunch of people, we lived in Syracuse many years ago, and sometimes Ted couldn't find his dog. Now, maybe this dog, Clover, had some girlfriends in the neighborhood. I wasn't sure. But one day, you know, Clover disappeared. And Clover went, and they couldn't find him. So they went on a Clover hunt, and they tried to find this dog. And this dog would go to the ice cream store. And this was a giant dog. This is one of the biggest dogs you've ever seen. And this dog would wait outside of the ice cream store. And when the little kids would come out with the ice cream, you know, there'd be mom and they're like 2-3-year-old kids with an ice cream in their hand. And Clover would go, "Roo!" And the kid, he'd be freaked out and he'd go like this. And the dog would go, so Ted's dog had some pretty devilish behavior. Okay. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." The other thing was funny. This isn't. Now watch this. How do we beat him? How do we beat him? Verse 9. "Whom resist steadfastly in the faith," we're to continue to believe rightly. That's how we resist him. "Whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In other words, people go through the same stuff. How do we resist the devil? We continue to believe rightly. Sometimes, though, when the pressure's on, we compromise. Sometimes we panic. Sometimes we get desperate. And when desperate people sometimes do desperate things, instead of not compromising on God's word, we compromise because we're freaked out. How do we resist the adversary? We stand on the right way of believing. We continue to believe the right way, even though the situation or the circumstance is not conducive. We believe the word no matter what. It's God's word if it never comes to pass. Look at Romans chapter 8, please. Romans 8. Romans 8. God is a God who delivers. First aid. Second aid is go to a believer, and if we go to a believer, believe God that we're going to be healed. That's a good thing. Remember, believing is required on both parts. It's cheaper than going to the doctor, that's for sure. And you know, if you go to the doctor, you've done the other stuff, don't feel bad about going to the doctor. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Romans 8, 22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our" what?
Body.
Our body being redeemed. We learned about the Spirit. We have God's Spirit. We're sanctified. We have righteousness, but our body has not been redeemed. Those of you who are my age, you kind of know what that means, don't you? Our body has not been redeemed. There's got some aches and pains, some high mileage on the unit, if you know what I'm saying. And we live in a devilish world. And sometimes sickness is just a direct attack. Old Job, he had some stuff right from Satan, right? Sometimes it happens. So just because I got some aches and pains, I'm not a bad believer. But people sometimes, you know, if I get scared, does that help me believe? Absolutely not. How about if I get sick and I start condemning myself? Does that help me get better? Absolutely not. Don't let anybody blame you for being sick. And don't blame yourself. That doesn't help at all. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you want a cross to carry, you know, we can make you one. Look, look at 1 John chapter 3. I wear glasses. Oh, I must be a bad believer. What a bunch of religious crap. 1 John chapter 3. Condemnation doesn't help me to believe. It's the opposite. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and in verse 20. 1 John 3 verse 20 it says, "For if our heart condemn or blame us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn or blame us not, then have we what?" So I want to have confidence toward God. I don't have any room for fear or blaming myself for some stupid things. I want to get God's word in my brain. God heals. If he put the stars in the sky, he could sure heal whatever is wrong with us. Now, in the future, our bodies are going to be redeemed. We're going to get new bodies. So, you know, we win either way. If I'm on this world and I get healed of whatever's wrong with me, that's a victory, isn't it? And at the gathering together, I'm going to get a new body. So whether it happens now or whether it happens in the future, it's all covered. I win either way. We all win either way. But legally, we have the right to that. And to close, look at 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So we need to develop a reliance on God. God first. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Remember? So we need to develop a reliance on God in every aspect. And healing is one aspect of the walk. He wants us delivered. By his stripes we're healed. There's first aid. There's second aid. And there's third aid too. And you know, God forgives. And if he forgives, it's very clear in the word he heals, because that goes hand in hand. When they left Israel, when they left Egypt, maybe 2.5 million people, and there wasn't one feeble knee among them. And just like any aspect, we build believing by working the Word of God so that we can build that believing in our life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1, 8, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence," or the answer. His life was in danger. "We had the sentence," or the answer, "of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises" what? If God can raise the dead, he sure can heal us. So he was to trust in God, who delivers, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us also. So, Paul said he had the answer of death. His life was at stake. And what was the answer? In his mind, he was to trust God, and he remembered that God had delivered him so many times. God delivered in the past, and God was to deliver in the future. And that's exactly how we should think. We've been delivered in our lives from so many different things. God has delivered us in the past, and he'll deliver us now. Our focus in life should not be on the aches and pains or the problems. It should be on God, his word, and all that he's made available in Christ. We should confess what the word says. We should know that we're righteous and not condemn ourselves and know that we're dead to the world. We should know that God cares about us and he wants to help us and teach us a lot of things and give us information. We should know that we've been sanctified, set apart by the world, and made holy. And we should leave here knowing that God has delivered us and that he will deliver. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. Thanks, Father, for the privilege that we have to know a little bit about your healing wholeness, that you're able, and that you sent your son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for caring about us and taking care of us, Father. And I pray that we can rise up in our believing, Father, to claim what you've made available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.